how he revealed himself. And we're going to be talking about El Roi, which means the God who sees me. Sometimes you may hear it as the God who sees, and the God who sees is correct, but more impressively, more important, if you will, is that he sees me. Now, God is eternal. We already talked about that. So you may have noticed that I am wearing glasses, and that's because I need them. It's not for a fashion statement. The older I get, the more it seems that the letters don't want to line up. And so my vision, I can start to see it failing. For a long time, I tried to go with just the standard reading glasses that you get at the pharmacy or in Costco, and those were doing a certain amount, but finally have broken down. And just before I went on my trip, and some of you haven't even seen these before, I was able to get some glasses, and I want to tell you that I see you much better than I do without them. My vision isn't that bad at a distance, but up close, I'm getting to a place where you have to use a font that's like 20, 22, 23, and so it was time to get glasses, if you understand what I'm saying. But I'm going to tell you that with God in all of his age, being the Ancient of Days, his vision is not lacking. He is the one who sees us completely. He is the one who knows us inside and out, and nothing is hidden from God. And we're going to ask the question, what evidence in our lives are we offering to other people? If I were to come and ask somebody for a reference for you, what would they say? Well, people give references based on their opinion. I don't know if you've ever had to give a reference. And there's a time when I was asked to give a reference, and the reference I had to give is, well, I don't really know. I don't know the person all that well. There was another time I gave this reference, if you will, to a family member. I don't know what it is, but there's something about that person I just don't trust. How many have ever thought that? And you can't even put it down on paper what it is that you're seeing, but there's something about that person, and it's just inside, you can't get away from it. And maybe it's the fact that they don't live a life that's congruent with one moment to the other, that they've not treated you bad, but you've seen maybe them treat somebody else or do something else not quite right. Anyway, you just can't put it into words. Now, I'm going to tell you, God can put it into words. He has record of what we are doing. I remember one time when I was a young teenager hearing my pastor preach a sermon that, I'll tell you, terrified me. And he told us that when we all die or get to heaven, there is the evidences that will be presented. And it will be like this giant screen up in heaven, bigger than you going to the movie theater. And everything you have ever done will be on display there. And I thought, that is a terrifying fact. That is something terrifying. Now, go with me to 1 Timothy, the first letter that Paul wrote to his spiritual son. And Paul is at the end, if you will, of his journey. And he writes to Timothy in chapter 5, in verse 24 and 25. And literally, these two verses are the flip side of the same concept. And it says in verse 24, "The sins of some are obvious, reaching the place of judgment ahead of them. The sins of others trail behind them. In the same way, good deeds are obvious, and even those that are not obvious cannot remain hidden forever." In other words, what Paul is saying here is that there are some people, you look at them and you just know they are dirty, rotten people. How many have ever met somebody like that? We all have, haven't we? We can label people. We look at them and we see, that person is not a good person. And their sins are obvious. Whereas there are other times where he says, reaching the place of judgment ahead of them, the sins of others trail behind them. Now, what does that mean? That literally what my pastor was saying back when I was 13 and 14 years of age, he was saying they're going to be revealed one day. They're going to be out there in front of everybody one day. And so we have to be aware that everything, even the things that we think are hidden, are going to be on display at one day. What my pastor failed to mention at the time, and I had to discover with weeping and gnashing of teeth later on, was that those things do happen, and there probably will be this great screen in front of everybody. But in our case as believers, there's a wonderful thing that happens. How many have ever had this application on their phone or on their computer called YouTube? Okay. On YouTube, it's quite popular to put this little blurred out area where you can't see it. Now, that may be because it's a copyrighted movie. It may be because they don't want you to be able to read that license plate number. It may be because, for a number of reasons. And what my pastor didn't explain to me is that the blood of Jesus covers over those sins. So as believers, when we get to heaven, and how many know that as believers, we failed miserably multiple times. But when we get to heaven, those things that have been confessed and those things that have been covered over with Jesus, and I searched when I was preparing for a word that would describe this, because usually you don't describe the blood of Jesus in this way, but I hope you'll understand what I'm saying. You'll see this, if you will, this red stain over the top of the movie. And I don't want to use the word stain. I hesitated even saying it because his blood washes us, and we say white as snow and all of these things. But there's going to be this blocking out, and you're not going to be able to see those sins anymore. And the people who would watch for the evidence, they're not going to be able to see the evidence because the evidence has already been canceled out by the blood of Jesus in the life, in the case of those who are believers we're talking about. And in the same way, the good deeds that are obvious. There are some people that you see what they're doing. You say, wow, they are awesome. They are wonderful. Look at how incredible that person's life is and how much they serve others and so forth. Some of them are obvious. And later on, he says, even those that are not obvious cannot remain hidden forever. There's going to be a time of the displaying being in front of everybody. You know, there are some who have this concept of religion that they can be saved by their good works. That's never going to work. We know that as believers. We know that it's not by works we're saved. We're saved by faith, and only by faith in Jesus. The fact is that we will be rewarded for our good deeds that we do in Christ Jesus. And I want to emphasize that statement, in Christ Jesus. Because when we think about our good deeds, because here we are the saints. Look at each other and you say, wow, you are a saint. Just look at the person next to you. I mean, you are a saint. Now, don't say it and then laugh. That's not going to be very convincing. When my wife says, boy, you look great today, and she goes, you wonder, what did I do wrong? But she's never done that, so I don't know. I've just she's going to have a panic attack over here if I leave that out there. But we look at each other and we see that we are the people of God. We are the ones that are serving the Lord, and so we know that our sins are covered over, and now we are doing what God wants us to do. Our text says that what we have done will be revealed, whether it's good or bad. Jesus goes along and he talks about that being a concept that will be on display for everybody, and our actions are not the only things that will be judged, but our attitudes, the reason why we did what we did. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 to 6, says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues or on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is secret, what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received receive their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Here Jesus is speaking about our good deeds, and that's what I want to really focus our attention. We all understand that people will be judged for their evil that they do, but we're talking about our good deeds that we do and why we do them. Others may see them, and there's others that may not see them. The world may never know the time that you spend on your knees in prayer at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, praying that your neighbors would come to know Christ, praying that the people that live in the 1040 window would have opportunity to hear about Jesus. They may never see some of the things that you do, that secretive action of godliness that you're accomplishing because God is doing something in your life. Others may not see that, but God is seeing it. So if we go back to the concept that my pastor presented, it's amazing how as you grow up, you start to see truths in different details. And I shouldn't even say that my pastor didn't tell me this. He at the moment of saying that we're going to have this big screen, I was so terrified, I probably didn't hear the rest of the sermon. Maybe he explained it and I didn't even know, okay? So little disclaimer. But I will tell you that some now will take that idea of a movie and say, oh, it's so great that my sins will be covered over in that. But listening to what Jesus says, what others are anticipating is that the world see all of the great deeds that they had done. Could you imagine? Jesus blocks out all of our sins, and now up in heaven, everyone starts saying, wow, you were a really great guy. You were like the hero of the heroes. There's believers around the world that for some reason still continue to do the good things that they are doing because they want somebody around them in the church, somebody to come along and say, wow, you did a great job. And that's what Jesus was talking about. These people that do the good things, they were giving to the poor. They were accomplishing the plan of God. And the point here, it's important to do the good, but our heart, our reasons, has to be there. In other words, there's some people that will come along and say, you know what, I'm just so tired of doing the right thing. It is so tiring to always be on your best behavior. And to those people, we need to respond, you know what, we're not doing it with our own strength. You don't do the good deeds because you have become so strong and so mighty. You do the good deeds because Jesus is functioning and working in your life. We have to come to the understanding. Listen to what Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 27 and following. It says, why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? And here's these people that are thinking that they're doing this and God isn't paying attention. But listen to what Isaiah goes on and says. He says, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. When I was asleep in the airplane, I didn't have any fear that God had fallen asleep. You understand what I'm saying? God is the one who does not fall asleep. He does not grow tired. Now, what does that mean? That he never runs out of energy. There's times that you and I may run out of energy. Matter of fact, there are times on Sundays after church, my wife will come to me and say, are you tired? I can tell you're tired because you were trying just a little bit too hard to act like you weren't. What are you laughing at? I don't laugh at you when you say it to me. And we can get tired. And we can try to make up the difference in it being a little bit louder, being a little bit more boisterous, etc. But God simply just doesn't get tired. He says, and his understanding no one can fathom. It's impossible to come to the full understanding of how much God knows. Now, I will tell you, there are times when I and I don't want to shock you too much, but there are times when I don't know something. And you know what I do? Nowadays, I go and I find that item on YouTube. Oh, how do you fix a gas dryer? What's wrong? It's not heating up. And so I can go and I have a technician right there in my hand showing me step by step what they would check here, and then they check here, and then they check here. And you know what? YouTube gives me all kinds of information. Now, I hope I didn't reveal a secret that you didn't already know. Probably you knew. But I'm going to tell you that God has never yet consulted YouTube. He already knows. He is the one who is aware of everything. And it says, he gives strength to the weary. In other words, God doesn't only never get tired. He has a surplus to the extent that when we get tired, he's the one that gives it to us. He's the one that gives us our strength. He goes on in verse 30, he says, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. This is who we are. What God has done in actuality will be revealed. If we go back to the concept of the big screen, it is not fair of us ever to come to the conclusion that we can have our sins blotted out with the blood of Jesus so no one can see it. And then later on, we get all the credit for the good things that we had done because now they're on display. Because after all, it is God who is giving us the strength to do these things. You know what happens? I'll tell you what happens. And in heaven, you're going to have all of this and not even correctly. In my mind, this is just not fair. What? That we would get the glory for what God does. God's doing it in us. And there's going to be a day where I and you, we're going to get a crown. And what is that crown for? So that we can march down the streets of gold and show off to everybody just how great we are. No. Because at that point, we're going to take that crown off of our heads and we're going to say, this isn't about us. It wasn't by our strength. We're going to cast those crowns before the feet of the one who is worthy. And we're going to say, worthy are you, Lamb of God, who was slain before the foundations of the earth, to receive glory and honor and power and praise. Because he's the one that continues to give us the strength to move forward and to do these things. God is the one who has tirelessly been working since creation, giving us the strength to do great exploits. Often mankind takes the credit for it. And I rarely see people when they're doing something great say, you know what, it's all the glory to God. On occasion we do. But everything that we do, every moment, and rather than complaining to God that he woke us up at 2 o'clock in the morning to pray, thank you, God, that you gave me the strength to get up. You get the glory for this. Because in my own strength, I would have been out sawing logs. Thank you, God, for these moments. And you know what? I don't know if you've ever complained about insomnia. Thank you, God, for waking me up and giving me the strength, the ability, when everyone else is asleep, to be able to spend time with you. It's him, it's God, who gets the glory for all that he has done. Imagine that day when God rewards us for what he actually did in the very beginning. It was his strength, his intelligence, his unction, his moving in us, all of these things that now we're able to look back and say, wow, look at that video. I did a great job. No, my friends. It's not about us. The movies that will show on the big screen as believers are all about Jesus. They are all about him and for his glory. And we will say, what a privilege to have God use us in this way. What a privilege that we can be the people that God chooses to display His power, chooses to display His understanding, chooses to display His wisdom in bringing salvation to the world. It's not about us. It's all about Him. And that's why we are those who offer our bodies as living sacrifices to God, so that He would be the one who gets the glory. Why live to give God the glory? Why should that be our goal? Because we should constantly have in our mind that He's the one who knows and judges. He's the one that sees the secret. He's the one that sees what everyone else can't see right now, what everyone else says is not obvious. When others are saying, I just don't know what it is about that person. He's the one that knows already. He's the one. He's the one who gives us strength to continue to move on. You know what? You had strength to get up this morning and come to church. You had strength, if you're watching online, to be able to turn on that computer and had the resources for having the computer and internet and what have you. And I mentioned a bunch of times about YouTube, and you can find good information on YouTube, and this video's on YouTube as well. Because God gets the glory. He is the one who helps in our time of need and when problems are too great for us. How many have ever gotten to a position where you say, this is impossible? And that's when God says, nothing's impossible with me. And here we are. When we thought the end had come, we're still here because God is at work in our lives, and He's the one who's still bigger than the problems. He's the one who still looks at the Goliath in front of us and scoffs and says, who do you think you are? God is the great God. He always is offering hope to the hopeless, and that's who we are at times, isn't it? And we give God the glory because we're no longer those hopeless individuals. We are the people with clear direction, with vision that God is doing something great in our lives. God's eyes are always on our lives, and He observes everything we do. And you know what? There was a time in my life when I thought that was extremely bad news. But I'm going to tell you, that's the best news you could ever hear. God sees you. God knows where you're at. God knows what you're going through. And He is there to strengthen you. He's there in our moments of frustration, disappointment, or even our moments of sin as we turn and we say, forgive me, I did this, and I repent of this. And that's the best news in the world, to know that our sins are forgiven and that we're being lifted up and strengthened, and we can go further and we can do more. And it's for God's glory. Close with this scripture in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, we're saying the same thing over and over again, because it's a spiritual truth that all of the writers tried to convince us of. Paul mentioned it to Timothy. Here we have Peter speaking it. Jesus Himself made a comment about these same concepts. And so here we have, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to the prayer. How many are the righteous? You already were told you're the saint. You're the holy one, right? Okay, so God's eyes are on you. And what's His goal? Exactly what Isaiah was talking about. To infuse you with strength. To strengthen your heart and your mind. He's there to let you fly above the problems like an eagle soaring over all that's down below. He's the one that says, you know what? Age doesn't matter anymore. Even the young men get tired and grow weary, but you're going to have your strength renewed. He's the one who is constantly living there for us because His ears are attentive to our prayers. So what do you turn to? Who do you turn to in moments of difficulty? When the storms start to happen, you don't need to put your trust that the pilot knows what he's doing. When the storms begin to happen and the plane begins to fall or rise, when you feel the motion sickness coming on, and you say, I don't know how much further I can go, how much more I can take, I'm going to tell you that God is the one in charge. And his ears are attentive to our cry. Now, what does that mean? In just a few days from now, probably, could be even today, I don't know, my newest grandchild will be born. Okay? And when Elisha is born, there happens naturally something in a parent's life. All of a sudden, this person who could sleep like a rock, all of a sudden, hears the smallest little whimper. I experienced this several times in my life. When that baby first comes home, and you're not used to having a baby in the house, and you've been preparing for this all this time, and here is this baby. Now, the baby may not even wake up, but they just move and ruffle the blanket a little bit. You know what? My ears heard it. I better go in. I remember one time, and this happened with my little girl. First night, there she was in the crib, and she made a sound. She made a sound. And I went in to make sure that she was okay, because I heard it. She wasn't crying. She wasn't needing to be fed. I went in there, and I wanted to check and make sure that she was okay. And there was a huge problem. And I know what you're thinking. It wasn't that. I had a huge problem. I snuck into this dark room, leaned over the edge of the crib, and I checked to make sure that she was all okay. But there was a problem. She had no legs. She had no legs. And I'm serious. I what could have caused her legs to not be there anymore? I had to turn on the lights in the room. And here this little baby had her legs so... I can't even do it. So tucked up that I couldn't find her legs without turning on the light. Well, you know what? She still has legs. God was still watching over her. He didn't need the lights to be turned on. I did. And that same God who watches over the littlest child, that same God has his eyes watching us, El Roi. That same God is hearing our cries. And the slightest little whimper, he is not far away. He is the one who is there to strengthen us and see us rise up. And the more we live for him, you know what? We may think that others are saying, wow, that person's really great. Oh, look at how great that was. And what we do in reality is we show the world how great our God is. So I challenge you, live that way. Let the movies continue to play, and let it always show to God be the glory. Amen? Bow your heads with me, if you will. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you watch over us. And that is not a fearful thing. That is an exciting and wonderful thing. Understanding that the God who knows everything, the God who has endless resources and strength and power, is watching over us, attentive to our cry, attentive to our slightest moan in the night. You are never far from us. And we want our lives to always bring you and give you the glory. Lord, at the end, for the things that we've done where others have seen, even if that wasn't our motivation, and that's showing on the screen of our lives. In the end, the secret, quiet things that we've done, praying and interceding for family and friends and people we don't even know. For the moments where we didn't have the finances and we still sent that missionary on their journey. Lord, for all of those moments that the world may not be able to see right now, when they begin to shine up on that screen, we don't ask that you only blot out our sins with your blood, that you change, and that your face be where ours was, because it was always about you. We want you to get the glory, and we want to for sure be your people who are not looking forward to a big crown, because we're going to say, that crown certainly doesn't belong to me. It belongs to you, Jesus, as we're going to place it before you and recognize that it's all and always has been for you, for your glory. Let our lives live for you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Go out and shine brightly for Jesus. Amen. We're dismissed. We'll see you on Wednesday.